They call me Connor, and here's Sterling. This podcast will talk all about the Chiefs.
That's my worst Eddie Vedder. But I'm wearing the Pearl Jam shirt today, so I went for it. Sterling, you're not even laughing, which makes me think my efforts are in vain. My apologies to you. My name is Matt Connor. I'm here with Sterling Holmes, opening up the Arrowhead Addict podcast on this lovely Tuesday here where I'm at. How are you today, Sterling?
Yeah, I was going to say, ain't found a way to kill me yet. Eyes burn with stinging sweat. And that's for me listening to that song right there. No, that's not The Rooster by AIC. That's you singing Pearl Jam without your heart. If you put your heart into it, I would have loved it. You've had better Eddie Vedders. I've heard you as a better man.
Dude, that's a good one. I don't know. I felt like I had an even flow. I felt like it was... It was
Jeremy.
Dude, welcome to it. It's good to see you, my friend. We are in the thick of the off season. But by the way, how are you feeling about the Royals right now?
Dude, strong.
Gotta feel great about it.
Old boy's feeling pretty good right about now.
That rotation. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, this isn't a Royals blog or podcast. Get out of here. What are we talking about? Anyway, we're talking Chiefs today, and we got some news to cover. We got some things to discuss. The draft is in a couple weeks. But as much as we're talking all about the draft, today's episode, actually, we'd love to sew up a lot of the free agency that's left, if there's any free agency left, because every team goes into the draft hoping they can take the best player available. But then a lot of times it comes down to reaching for some needs. So, what we hope is that the Chiefs can get whatever guys they can on the roster in order to avoid having to make a reach at a certain position. And just wonder kind of maybe what deals are out there to still be had. But before we do, my man, Sterling, we got a great deal from FanDuel. Is that right?
We sure enough do. And if you've not downloaded the FanDuel app yet, you will definitely want to take advantage of this offer. New users who sign up through our link must deposit $10 and place a first wager of $5 on any live bet. Once your first bet settles, you'll receive $150 in bonus bets, even if you lose. This offer is only available if you sign up through our link, bit.ly/arrow150. You can find that link in the description below our stream, as well as scan the QR code on screen to start signing up. Again, the link is bit.ly/arrow150. Offers only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer, as well as the link. And I'm betting on baseball. I'm betting on Cole Reagan's going over strikeouts. So,
can we talk about, this isn't the best deal in all of free agency. I don't want to like take it to that extreme, but is it? Is it not? If you would have said $13 million guaranteed on a 2-year deal, I'd be like, sure, love it, love it. On a 3, like, what were you just blown away by the parameters of the deal when it was announced?
Yeah, I am so surprised his market did not drive more for him. Now, I think sometimes when people say, oh, but he's a Super Bowl champion, I think it's a little overrated, especially for a rotational defensive player. It's not a quarterback. It's not necessarily an X factor. Like, I like Mike Dana a lot. Like, I am president of the Mike Dana fan club. All here say I. Okay, we can move on. I'm taking the minutes right now. But Mike Dana is a very good rotational piece. We've seen the prices for edge rushers skyrocket. Carl Lawson was on like a 3-year, $45 million deal. Look what Draymond Jones is getting. It's crazy. So when you see a guy who is good, not great, but consistently solid, and a guy who you know can play inside and out, well, I thought the versatility would lend more. But 3 years, $24 million, $8 million AAV with a guaranteed contract of $13 million. I am shocked that no team went quite frankly, well over that. You know, if a team even offered 3 for $30, I'd say that's pretty undervalued for Mike. I'm thrilled he's back here in Kansas City. Again, if you're in his shoes, this is, again, your first big contract. So how mad can you actually be? You're a fifth round draft pick. You're still getting paid at a minimum $13 million, right? But still, I was a little surprised his market was not more robust.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Look, let me just say this. I want to correct something. Mike Dana started every game up front for the Chiefs last year. So I don't want to call him a rotational piece. He was a starting defensive end for a Super Bowl champ. And I think that's an important part of this because he starts as a long shot draft pick to make the team, makes the team. Then he becomes a special teams guy and rarely used defensive lineman. Then he becomes a rotational piece that Spags is learning how to use, and they start to slide him inside. And then he becomes starter opposite George Karloftis, and is there to be. You know, I realize what you're saying. If the Chiefs could replace him as a starter, they probably would, and make him a rotational piece.
Well, I think kind of thing. With a Minhuit, when he's healthy, when Charles O is healthy, I think we all realize that Charles is a starter. And then Mike Dana in that instance is your third D end.
I mean, all I'm saying is like Dana had 16 starts last year. So, you know, like if you just want to go with base, whatever, that's what was going on there. I agree. Like I like a Minhew outside better because the disruptive force is greater there. That said, I don't want to shortchange Dana and say that maybe every team saw him as a rotational lineman, or maybe they did. Maybe that was the problem. But I like the story. I think Dana deserves to say it, to point and go, yo, I started those games. I've climbed this climb. And not only have I climbed this climb, but how much farther am I going to go? You don't know. In 4 years, he's gotten better every single year. He's done more every single year. He's reliable as hell. He doesn't make mistakes. He's solid against the run, and he can set that edge, right? But he's also shown some solid disruptive capabilities. 6.5 sacks, I believe, is the count from last year. So he set some career highs there. He's only 26. It's not like he's like 27, 28, getting up there. It's like there are a lot of prime years left. And so let me ask you this. There was zero about Mike Dana out there before the signing. And, you know, it took the Chiefs a little while to get official cap space. It made me think all along that there was a gentleman's agreement between the two. Kind of like, look, if you stay out of, I mean, like you could take your free agent tour and whatever. And if you like, but if you really want to come back here, we're willing to put up decent money. And like, it just made me wonder whether there was some kind of gentleman's agreement there, because it just baffles me to think that 31 other teams weren't interested in taking a closer look at a guy with his pedigree.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's tough from the player's perspective, especially if you're an agent. You're trying to get the guy the most money possible. Again, I just think that a lot of folks and teams probably viewed him, like we're talking about, maybe as a rotational guy. Like, you know, Andrew Wiley and Nick Allegretti, right? They had to make that transition from rotational, yep, to then starter.
Yeah.
And Mike Dana, again, I'm surprised more teams didn't view him as that. I thought he was going to get that treatment where he went from almost a backup to then he's the guy on a team. Not the case. I do think it's great for Kansas City. The Chiefs needed him. The Chiefs need Mike Dana with Charles Minhew out. Now, I know people are going to go ahead and say, what about FAU? Is this a knock against FAU? I don't think so, because when you have as many snaps on the defensive line as teams do, they're not playing 100%. Max Crosby, he's the outlier, right? Crosby's the outlier. And to an extent, Karloftis, how much Karloftis plays, is almost an outlier too.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to have three, at a minimum, four defensive edges that you trust. And again, Mike Dana kicks inside in those NASCAR packages. I don't know how much of this is a knock on FAU. And quite frankly, the Chiefs have all the ability to see what FAU is going to be, because it's only $13 million guaranteed. If FAU takes off and is like, you know what, we don't need Mike Dana anymore at all, they can get out of that contract after 1 year. I mean, seriously, after 1 year, they most likely could. You say 1 for 13, fine. Like, if FAU all of a sudden just blows out, comes out, and is a stud. So, and now you have insurance. I don't think this is a knock against FAU as much as people are going to probably try and make this out to be. I will also point out, what if this is more of a knock against Charles Amina, who's going to be out a large chunk of the season,
final year
of the contract. And again, even if FAU steps up, you still need guys behind Carl Loftus and FAU, Charles Amina, who might not be here. So that means you still need Mike Dana. So no, I don't think when people are going to try and spin this as FAU's not ready, as a bust of a pick, all that stuff, I think it's almost a separate situation here. They wanted the depth. They got him back on a very team-friendly contract. You'd be silly to not bring Mike Dana back on that deal.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
I think there was an agreement in place, and I think Mike Dan, I think there's something to be said for wanting to be in KC. I was listening to Clyde's presser on Monday, right? They officially resigned Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, it was already kind of a done deal, but officially made, and then they made him available to reporters. And he talked so much about KC as home, saying like, look, I just finished my first 4 years in the league. I'd have to go to another team. I'd have, like, you know, he's talking about, these are my friends and my family in the locker room. And he went way in depth. He said, look, I was born and raised in Baton Rouge, and then I went to college there. So when KC drafted me, this is the only other home I've ever had. Like, talking about how, like, we think some of these guys travel city to city to city trying to make their NFL dream work. But for some guys, if you can control where you're going to go, some of these guys are like, hey, this is my only other home besides where I grew up. I don't exactly want to like go find another house, new friends, new coach, new system. If the Chiefs made an offer within even range of where Mike Dana wanted, it's perfectly within Mike Dana's rights to go to his agent and go, you may be able to milk a little bit elsewhere, but I can't put a value on feeling comfortable and trusting where we're at. Plus, you win Super Bowls here, by the way. There's something to be said for that. So I think there was something like that. I want to
By the way, just going back, if you've not listened to Clyde's presser, it's interesting. He gives you a lot more than most players do. I thought Clyde's presser was very interesting. And you're correct, by the way, in the player talk of how much value do you put on staying in one spot. If you heard Dan Hurley after UConn won last night, which UConn, blue blood, I love watching UConn just stick it to all those old teams who are clinging on. Like, I love Indiana. I grew up, you know, obviously in Indiana too, but the fact they're like, no, they're not a blue blood. We still are. And you're like, you've not won since 1987. They have six championships since 1987. Like, you're sitting here like, come on, they're a blue blood now. But Dan Hurley, after the game, was asked, because the Kentucky spot's open right now with Calipari going to Arkansas. There's a little bit of murkiness there right now. But they were asking him, like, would you consider that? And he was basically laughing, going, no, I wouldn't consider that. And also, what my wife think about that after I just went from Rhode Island and I'm finally here, I'm getting paid this money? He goes, I'm finally starting to get paid. I can't pay for a divorce right now. Like it was just, yeah, like there is something to you're winning in a great spot. Is it the best opportunity for you? Maybe could you maybe squeeze a little more out somewhere else? Is that worth it? Like, is it worth it for Dan Hurley to go to Kentucky? No. Is it worth it for Mike Dana if it was, again, hypothetically, $1 million elsewhere? No, it's not worth it, because how much do you put in staying with the continuity and what feels like home?
Yeah, yeah. Mike Dana could begin and end his entire NFL career winning nothing but rings or coming as close as a player. I mean, he's already done it. Like, his whole career is steeped in Super Bowls won or lost already. Like, why not stick around for that? Let me say this about FAU, and tell me what you think of this. But look, FAU coming into the league, hot, red hot motor, good production, but he was only 21. Look, for those out there who want to say FAU is a first round bust and all stuff, Felix came into the league as a 21-year-old, very young, just like Karlaftis. He comes in with good production, but he was also only a two-year starter. So there's some years there to still need to develop. He was only like, he's got shorter length, and he's only 255. He's not like 6'4", 290 Spags defensive end that they're going to grow into. When he came into the league, they knew he's going to be a situational pass rusher. That's what he's going to be. Even when he like bulks up and gets stronger, or even in his like third and fourth, he's not going to be starting opposite Karlaftis in some base defense, taking care of all three downs. He's going to be situational all the way. They knew that. They still took him in the first round. Anyone looking at Karlaftis and going, well, he came in and started right away, and Felix came in and he can't get the same amount of playing time. It's because they're different players. You can't compare one to the other. FAU was always going to be a situational pass rusher, and he has guys in front of him on a deep roster. And he was always going to be a project that needed to add bulk, especially in his upper body. When he gets it, he already showed you at K-State that he's going to be a buzzsaw into the backfield. The pass rush moves were there. The repertoire was there. The motor and the burst were there. You just got to bulk up, and you can't bypass that, folks. You need room and you need time in a conditioning program to make this stuff happen.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I get everyone's going to point to Karlaftis, as you mentioned, because of the age and say, why not? But again, you're pointing to the outlier. The Chiefs also needed a guy that season, week one, game one, to step up and be able to play. Karlaftis was more polished at that age. FAU was not, and the Chiefs did not need a polished pass rusher right then and there. They drafted him in part two because they can afford to sit and wait. So I think people need to have some nuance when it comes to FAU. That's my personal opinion, and I think you are on the same page. I see Dr. Who says Chiefs must take Ladd McConkey. I love Ladd McConkey at 32. We've talked about him before on previous shows. If you want to check out the interview I actually had with Ladd McConkey, you can go to Stacking the Box on YouTube after this show. It is up there. I had a nice interview with Ladd. Great talk with him. DJ.
Hey, that was you did a good job with that, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a lot of fun talking with him. He was very loose. It was a good time. DJ E says Ladd is a slot. Well, I just actually posted this. If you want to check it out on my at Home Stretch KC, I asked him that. I said, what have teams been telling you? Are they saying you're a slot? And he goes, they originally did, and so they saw my tape until they started watching me and go, wait, you played outside the majority of the time at Georgia. So if you think he's just a slot, you've not watched a lot of Ladd McConkey. That dude can play all over the field, and he is a punt returner. But we don't need to keep talking about Ladd McConkey and my affinity for him. Again, sometimes you talk to guys.
I like him.
But when you talk to guys, sometimes you get a better feel for them. And it can go both ways. I've said before with like Will Anderson, when I interviewed him before he got drafted, I go, yeah, I see why a team is going to draft him, you know, mm-hmm. second, third overall. When I talk to Bryce Young, I go, I don't know, man. Like, so sometimes just mannerism, just very nice guy, extremely nice dude, Bryce. Nothing like that, but just sometimes the body language. Extremely nice guy, but you're like, does that inspire confidence? He's my size. And when you're kind of, I get as cold outside and all that stuff, but sometimes there's just, that's the only meeting you have with a guy. Yeah. Like, see how a team would be like, well, you know, we already have size as a concern and you're not having the confidence it feels like. So it's weird when you interview some of these guys. But yes, I am intrigued in Ladd McConkey.
By the way, a good question here, and I'm going to pitch this to you because I honestly don't know. Do we know, from Thomas Rodney, do we know what else is going on with Rashee Rice? I have not heard any more. Mm-hmm. I'm with him. I haven't heard any updates there in the last few days. You?
No. Again, the last we've heard is the lawyer.
Yeah.
He's apologized on, I think it was on Instagram, he came out and apologized and basically said that they're going to take care of stuff. But that's not great, but also there's nothing we can do right now. It's just the process play itself out. It's nice he's at least taking accountability, right? I mean, I guess what else are you going to do? But
well, Kareem Hunt the thing.
Yeah, the true. At least he is taking responsibility for, again, a horrendous action.
Yeah. Well, folks, into the meat of the show here, we wanted to get into just how much the Chiefs might still go shopping or might not go shopping. And I wanted to bring this up to you. We've seen Carson Wentz is now in the fold. Backup quarterback is settled. They flirted with J.K. Dobbins, but he left despite Nate Taylor out of The Athletic. So they had a productive visit for both sides, but nothing happened as of yet. So maybe running back, but the draft is only in a couple weeks. And a lot of times teams will kind of turn their attention only on the draft and then come back out to the free agent market. We saw that last year where the Chiefs kind of turned in like into themselves in the week or two before. And then afterward they signed Donovan Smith. Like they have some things worked out of like, if the draft doesn't fall this way or that way, we know we can go to these guys. I'm asking you, do you think we're still going to see a move or two on the free agent market in general from the Chiefs before the draft?
Before the draft is tough. It is tough. I don't know why I added a T, tough. It's tough.
It's a tufted tuft. It has I don't know how you.
But I do think there'll be someone either before or after. I think you're correct, especially if teams start cutting some dudes, but we can't foreshadow that. So I think we can look at some of the free agents that are currently out there. I do want to give a little roster update. Chiefs have signed exclusive rights free agents, Mike Caliendo.
Yes.
And Nazi Johnson.
Love it.
So
love it, by the way. I know that normally we don't get like too hyped about IRFA's exclusive rights free agents because those guys are both usually young and unproven and they can't go anywhere. I mean, it's not like they can sign with anyone else, but the fact that the Chiefs are like, yes, we like both guys and we want them back again on another year. I actually like both guys to play bigger than expected roles for the, like, I think Caliendo has the inside track to be Allegretti. I think there's a very real chance there. They signed him 2 years ago out of Western Michigan. He was Sky Moore's teammate, by the way, at Western. And then they signed him as an undrafted free agent, and he's been around for 2 full years now. That's a good amount of time to get coached up by Andy Heck. He can play either guard spot and center. So he's a guy who's already 2 years into the system who can play all three interior spots. That sounds pretty Allegretti-ish to me. Allegretti was only a seventh rounder, so it's not like there's a huge difference between Allegretti and Caliendo where those guys came in. And then Nazi Johnson, we saw it last year, man. I mean, it looked like Nazi Johnson was going to like compete with Mike Edwards for like a third safety snaps or at the very least beat out Deion Bush for fourth.
Or even be like a slot corner. Like there was talk of him playing like nickel and cornerback. I mean, Nazi Johnson was, again, I went to a few of the training camp days, and there was a lot of buzz around Nazi Johnson. I will also point out there was a lot of buzz around Richie James. Fun fact for you, Richie James looked like the best wide receiver in training camp. I'm not even kidding. That's not even me just doing that. That was serious. So take everything with a grain of salt, but Nazi Johnson was, he was buzzing, man. So we'll see what comes back after the injury. It's obviously a massive injury to a position where you have to have the quickness and the speed. But again, I it's basically a flyer. Why wouldn't you bring him back?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. He did have the torn ACL, just as an update for people who don't know, that does, you know, that gets in his way. The Chiefs have kept that position crowded. But yeah, I think both guys are gonna make a little bit of waves there.
So
in terms of if the Chiefs go shopping, let's stick to the offense for just a second here. If the Chiefs were to go shopping, do you think they're going to go shopping at all on the offensive side? And if so, where, if I were to ask, what's the best bet for the Chiefs to go shopping for a free agent before the draft on offense, what would you say to me?
I got a specific name for you if you'd like, and I think it's Jamal Agnew.
All right, Brent.
I know people
state
are,
thy case.
I know people are probably saying, Jamal Agnew, why? Well, with the new kickoff rules, it's very important now to have a kick returner that can be an impact player. Jamal Agnew was an impact player as a returner with the old rules, but he's even more efficient this way because of his vision and his ability to, he's at times taking the ball out of the backfield. He can be that specialist, if you will, with him as well as the dude who plays rugby. I think you have that tandem back there, because I do think you'll see a lot of two receivers back there, because you don't want it to have it hit and then skip in. Then they get it. You have shitty field position. So you're going to most likely have two returnmen back there. And you don't necessarily want the traditional, let's get a guy who runs a 4-2, 4-3, like the McCole Hardmans, the traditional kick returners, I think, or I don't want to say will be out of a job, but it's not quite as important anymore, that top end speed. You want to get a guy who can get behind and who has the vision to follow his blocks. It's going to be almost more like a run play here, right? I think Jamal Agnew brings all of it to the table. Not going to be super expensive. When Cordell Patterson went to the Steelers, if I'm not mistaken, Patterson did. I was sitting there, that's perfect for this new role. Patterson's going to thrive in this role. I think Jamal Agnew, again, he's listed as a receiver. He can do some of those end arounds, some of the trick plays, but I think he would be a phenomenal asset on the new kickoffs. I think Jamal Agnew is a guy that I personally would like the Chiefs to look at.
It would surprise me to see them figure something out with Dobbins. I don't know if Dobbins wants to take a tour of some more teams or not. I was looking at running backs, by the way. It's so pitiful. I mean, there are the pickings at this point are not good. However, I was intrigued. This is a super long shot, but I'm a little intrigued by Rashad Penny. He had a couple good years with Seattle, but he was just a healthy scratch all year in Philly. DeAndre Swift was just the man, and he just kind of was they signed Penny and Swift, and then Swift got the goods, and then Penny just sat all year. So I don't get it. There's not a lot of tread on the tires, and he put up some real juicy yards per carry with Seattle for a few years. I think his career average is 5.6, 5.7, something like that. That makes me, so I'm just dying to get him in the hands of Andy Reid and seeing what they could do with a guy like that in a bit role, where they're programming a couple scripted plays for him in a game or something. I don't know. It's a long, it's a flyer, just like Dobbins and the injury, it's a flyer. But I wouldn't mind a flyer in the backfield, whoever that is.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you know what you have with CEH. He's your, I don't want to say break in case of emergency, but you know what you're going to get with him, right? Well-rounded, could do a little bit of everything. Nothing great, but you trust him, right? And also, you know that he's not going to be a diva back there. You understand that he's going to be a guy who is not going to complain and pout, at least from what we have heard, if he doesn't get touches in a game. And you don't think about it, but you're not playing Madden. You actually have to worry about dudes who are me first guys. And you're like, dude, you're a third stringer. You're a backup. Pacheco's here. Sorry. But also Pacheco's been injured. CEH has been injured. I don't know what McKinnon's going to do. I don't know what some of the backups that the Chiefs currently have, like the generic princes, The guy from Arizona they brought in, like, those guys just might be practice squad guys, or they get called up for injuries. That's fine. You're going to have five running backs. A lot of them are going to be stashed. That's what you have to have in today's NFL. Yeah. But going back to your list, here are the list of free agent running backs that I have found. You have Ezekiel Elliott, Boston Scott, Damian Harris, Cam Akers, Dare. I always blow his last name. The guy who played for the Jacksonville for a while, then last Houston. Dobbins, Matt Breida, Kareem Hunt, Rashad Penny, Lat Murray, McKinnon, Marlon Mack, Josh Kelly, Lynn Bowden, and Eno Benjamin.
I mean, there's, for me, there's not a lot there. I don't know what happened to Cam Akers, but he's like 24 and just kind of looked pitiful. Just to me, it's like, to me, here's what I think. I think the Chiefs are going to come away from this offseason with two new faces in the backfield. That's what I think. And I think one's going to be the draft, and I think one's going to be some sort of free agent flyer, whatever that is.
I'm with you, because I think Cody Schrader is a guy in the draft for Mizzou. Again, I'm not trying to be a homer here, but he's a late round, day three type of player that seems like the Chiefs covet his sort of skill set. I mean, when was the last time the Chiefs really just went with, like, yeah, let's get a speed guy. Let's get the fastest guy in the draft, throw him at running back. That's not really what they do.
Yeah.
They don't really covet that. A wide receiver they do sometimes with McColl, but Kadarius Toney, but they don't really do that running back. So as much as I think we all want to see, I've heard the lightning to the thunder, or whatever you want, but Chiefs don't really operate that way.
Yeah. Josh Zylstra brings up Isaiah Davis. Jackrabbits. There's some good, there are some really good late round options that I like. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the Chiefs go for there. They struck gold with Pacheco. If they're going to do that again, Dylan Lobb, is that his name, out of New Hampshire or something like that? Like, led all running backs with catches last year.
New Hampshire has a football team?
It was like, this kid was electric out of the backfield, like so many receiving yards. And then he like followed it up with a great combine. I think he's out there. Anyway, there are options that I think the Chiefs are going to be able to pull on day four and add to that room, but they have to do something. It's too thin as it is. And I gotta be honest, I'm a little tired of ringing McKinnon's phone at when you're getting into your mid-30s, the injuries are there. It's like, he had a great moment and he's a great story, but it's time to turn the page at some point with some of this stuff.
Bob Seger or Metallica version?
Bob Seger.
Both are good. I'm probably going to Metallica turn the page version, but I understand. What is the most forgotten state? Because I think it is New Hampshire. I'm sorry, New Hampshireites. But
probably is, right? Because Rhode Island is so small.
But you think of Rhode Island because it's so small. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, I think of Rhode Island because it is so small.
I always think of Delaware, maybe. It's one of those up there.
But Delaware had Joe Flacco. And Delaware also was the first state, and I will point this out as well. I think the United States were like, Delaware is the first state we've learned. Like, we've learned from Delaware. Sorry to any Chiefs fans from Delaware. It's fun making fun of the Northeast because we're in the Midwest. And I lived up there, so it's fun to make fun of Delaware.
I will say, if you're not from, like, middle America, a state in middle America is going to be the common answer for anyone like living on the coast.
Yeah. Like, but you got to think about sports though. Like, it's not going to be Kansas, because believe it or not, people are dumb enough to say, oh, Kansas City. So the Chiefs are in Kansas. So.
No, but like, like Wyoming or like something.
Josh
like that.
Allen, dog. Come on now.
True. True. You're right. New Hampshire, it's New Hampshire. Fun. You're the worst. See ya. You're number 50 out of 50.
We should do a ranking on this show sometime.
Dude, I would be in. Yeah. We should have a play-in between New Hampshire and a territory like Puerto Rico.
And oh, see. Probably Puerto Rico. I mean, they got the weather down there, you know?
Yeah. Now we're like off the bridge. Anyway. All right. We both mentioned one there. Anyone else? Some people are bringing up Odell. What do you think of the idea of adding, like, let's talk wide receiver here. Let's talk, do you think another, significant, or I mean, maybe these aren't significant targets, but like, if you're talking Michael Gallup, if you're talking Odell Beckham Jr., if you're talking, you know, any guys like that, they have some heft to their name. They're recognizable guys. Do you think the Chiefs are going to make a move like that at wide receiver?
No. Sorry, no, I don't. I want them to? Probably. I wouldn't mind having a little more depth, I guess, their veteran depth there, because I do think the Chiefs take at a minimum one wide receiver.
Yep.
Maybe two. I wouldn't be surprised if they took one first or second round, then one in like the sixth. There's just not a lot of great names. Again, I wouldn't mind OBJ on like a 1 year, $7 million. Like, fine. Go ahead. He had hands last year. The numbers actually were pretty solid for the amount of games he played in.
Yeah.
Wants to win. I've firmly been in the camp that guy has only gotten a bad rep because he's mostly played on bad teams. And people think he's like a me first guy. And I think he just wants to win. Like, I firmly believe that if OB, because what happened when he was on the Rams? Did you ever hear a peep when Cooper Kupp was catching all that? You never heard a thing because they were winning. So he's like, who cares? I'm winning. Like, I think he's always got a bad rap. So for that, I've always taken his side. And so for that, I've always liked OBJ. So yeah. I think he'd be fun. Tyler Boyd, I'm out on. I'm sorry. Unless it's a really, really, really cheap deal. I think he's really fallen off. You saw him last year. I bring this up time and time again, but I think it's true. When T. Higgins went down, when Jamar Chase went down, you know, Tyler Boyd's there. He never stepped up. It was the Andre I guy. It was the dude with long hair, number 16, Trent Irwin. Like, it was never Tyler Boyd. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence. And he's just a slot to me. I don't see how he actually fits in Kansas City. You know, Allen Robinson or Hunter Renfrow, I think, are intriguing. Allen Robinson is because he can play on the outside. Like, I don't think he's got anything left in the tank, but he's got good hands and he can play the outside. He's slow as bleep, but maybe you're sitting here going, keep him open or they can find, I don't know. And then Hunter Renfrow, he's slot only, but he's younger than you think. He's 28. Like, would you take a chance at a guy who's gone over a K a couple of years ago who got phased out only because of Josh McDaniel, who thought he was the smartest dude in the entire planet? It didn't get.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm with you. I like Renfrow like that. I like Renfrow like that. But let me ask you this. You said someone who's young, and you said taking a chance. And it makes me think, what about Chase Claypool? What about Chase Claypool's 25, right? Had some early success and then just became like an enigma. Like, what happened? I don't know. Fell off, went to the Bears, fell off even more. Like, what in the world's going on? If it's just a cost nothing flyer, I don't know. I'm not against the idea. You hate it?
I think you're going the route a little bit of Justin Ross, of Josh Gordon when he came to Kansas City. Like, I think you're going the route of, well, he was good that one, you know, he was good in the past, so that means he's still good because we know his name. And it's like, I'm out on Chase Claypool. I just am.
Of course, no one's looking for him to come in and do anything, like rely on him at all.
There's a reason why he's been bouncing around. Like, sure. There's a reason why, you know, he had a good year with the Steelers and they're still like, yeah, we don't want to deal with him. Like, we're done dealing with this guy. Then he goes to the Bears, who needed a bleep ton of wide receivers, and like, we don't want to deal with this guy. Then he goes to Miami, who needed wide receivers, and like, yeah, we're not going to deal with this guy.
Yeah.
At some point, it's you, not the team. That's three different teams. And again, they all needed wide receivers, so I'm out, man. So sorry for that reason. I'm out.
I get it. By the way, though, how many wide receivers are we discussing? Like, we know the Chiefs are in, you know, they're in on potential round one guys, round two guys. I feel like I'm hearing around 20 names total around the Chiefs, ranging from like maybe third round guys like Javon Baker all the way up to like the draft's best receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Now, I don't mean for the Chiefs. I just mean in general.
Okay.
I as an NFL fan am hearing about like 20 good young wide receivers coming into the league. That means that those 20 guys are going to be supplanting 20 other guys who are currently slated for roles that are now going to get knocked down the depth chart or made available in some way. It's making me curious looking at some of these teams. If the Chiefs exit the draft needing a wide receiver, there's going to be a lot of young receivers. Like some of these teeth are going to be looser than they were before. And I wonder if the Chiefs maybe be able to make a move. That's like a weird dental analogy.
Yeah, I hated that analogy. It gave me shivers. I was
suddenly we're all like sitting in the chair going, yeah, I don't like this feeling.
No, I don't know.
I think the Chiefs may actually be able to enjoy a post-draft wide receiver market where they just go to teams and go like, yo, you just drafted two guys and maybe this one you didn't realize would be on the table and you have them at value, but now what about this other guy who's now a little bit more free than he was before? That's going to be interesting to me with how many receivers are coming in. That's going to be interesting to me to see who shakes loose.
Yeah, I like that thought process a good amount, actually. I'm a fan of that. And the thing is, the 20 wide receivers that are drafted in the third round, how many become legit NFL starters? Let's just say like 10. How many become like impact players? Let's say 5. And you don't know which 5. I mean, I'm trying to think back to like the Mecole Hardman draft because we all think of Mecole Hardman. He became a starter. I thought like if you look at Mecole Hardman, that's the baseline. Like of like a lot of second rounders, if you wanted like the average guy, you might say it's Mecole Hardman. Because how many Andy Isabellas? How many, I forgot.
Tyquan Thorntons.
How many names that like literally could not play at all? We all remember DK Metcalf, but you'd always forget about the dudes who were drafted before and after who were legitimately basically done in 2 years. Like Mecole Hardman's the baseline. So, you know, we talk about all these wide receivers and stuff. Like I think Rashee Rice, when the Chiefs got him in the second round last year, now we'll see with the off the field stuff. But as far as on the field, that's more of the rarities. That's more of the surprise. I know we all want that to be the norm in the second round or the norm when you draft a wide receiver early. You go through the history of drafting these guys, especially not at top five, top 10. That's about right. I mean, Quentin Johnston, how many of those guys last year? I mean, there was a few that were really good. Zay Flowers was really solid. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but we always remember the successes. We always try and block out the negatives and pretend that we're the only team that the negatives happen to when the negatives happen to every single team.
By the way, Quentin Johnston, I think you mean 2026 Chiefs wide receiver Quentin Johnston. You just know that Brett Veach is going to buy low on that guy for like a 7th round pick. Like 1 or 2 years from now, as the Chargers cut ties with a guy that is their regime was not in place when they picked him. It'll be that kind of deal.
I did talk to him on Radio Row. Very good dude. I wouldn't be surprised if he took a little bit of a step forward. Again, he's coming from TCU. That's not Georgia. That's not Alabama. I do think there was some. I don't think he's ever going to be necessarily like the Mike Williams replacement, but that is almost what it feels like, right? Like it does feel a little bit like that. He did have a couple of games where you're like, okay, we see what they're seeing. We all remember the big drop and big moments, but I don't think he's ever going to be like a superstar, but I think Quentin Johnston could be a pretty decent wide receiver for the Chargers.
Wait, why are you knocking the Horned Frogs? What's wrong with the Horned Frogs?
Oh, nothing. But like when you think of like, oh, is that guy going to be ready for the NFL? Like certain programs have that, right? Like LSU, Alabama, Georgia, Washington secondary members in Washington. You know, like, there are certain programs like, yeah, they get you ready. I don't know if TCU necessarily has that for wide receivers.
Horned Frogs are pro ready. I don't know if you've seen Horned Frogs receivers, but they're pro ready. Anyway, what about anywhere else on the offense? Or let's open up the defense too. Are the Chiefs done shopping? Where else could you see they made that move?
You know, offensive line is very quickly. I think there still could be in the market for a tackle. Yeah. I just don't know where. There's not a lot of great options. Again, we all wanted Tyron Smith, and then we saw the contract he got, and we were all like, whoa, up to $20 million for that guy on the Jets. That's an old folks home. That's a retirement home. That's a rehab facility, dog. Like, that's brutal, man. Like, they're walking in the walkers trying to learn. And he was like, whoa, okay. That's your team. Two-hand touch. Yeah. David Bakhtiari, you know, Charles Leno. There's a couple of names. I'm still high on Wanya Morris, so we'll see.
Donovan Smith's still out there.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, honestly, I'm fine with Donovan Smith coming back, and you have a legitimate competition. Like, if you think Wanya Morris is back, you still want to have that depth piece either way. And it's not like he's going to break the bank in Donovan Smith. I'm cool with that personally.
Yeah. I think – I know I just said what I said about Mike Caliendo earlier, but it wouldn't surprise me to actually see – because the Chiefs have the money, I think they would like the ability to bring in a veteran back, like a sixth man of sorts. And I don't know if that's interior or it could be swing tackle like what you're talking about, but I think someone – there's a lot of vets out there. Mike Lewinsky, Connor Williams, McGovern, someone out there. That I just don't think the Chiefs are going to go all youth along the line. I think there's going to be a veteran import coming into that room and going, hey, I'm here. I'm here whenever you need me, and I've got some versatility to my name.
Yeah. Defensively, there's some still a few big names out there, actually. But when I say big names, I mean like, oh, these guys were great because you know the names and you're sitting there going, but what do they have going forward? Because I think when I name some of these guys, you're going to say, oh, yeah, we want that dude. And you're like, well, what have they done the past couple of years? What did they do last year? What's that age looking like? And what's the injury history looking like? So that's my concern defensively.
Yeah.
No one at linebacker, even with the departure of Willie Gay Jr. I think Cam Jones, I need to see when the injury timeline is for Cam Jones. But I think he could probably step in. Jack Conklin, I think they trust enough. If they took a fifth-round linebacker in the draft, that also is enough in my eyes to supplement. I think they're good at linebacker. Defensive line, for the most part, I'm content with. I'm not super happy that they brought back the entire interior defensive line because I do think that at times that was an issue. I love Mike Pinnell, but I don't want him the entire season. There's a reason why he wasn't getting a 3-for-$75 million contract, right? Like, there's a reason why he got what he got. I love Mike Pinnell. I've actually been in the Mike Pinnell fan club for like 5 years now. I don't know why. I love that.
Does that come with a card? Like, what does it come with, a card?
I can't think of anything funny. I was going to seem like a scale, like you have to be a certain weight. I don't know. That's the Danny Shelton fan club.
I love it.
But I wouldn't mind like an Emmanuel Ogba. I don't know. I think Clay is
even with Mike Dana in tow.
Yeah. And that's the issue is like, you're in this era where you want to see what FAU has. You want to see if he can be the guy, but also you're trying to win Super Bowls right now. Yeah. Like, you want to win. You're not here to develop necessarily. And again, I think FAU takes a step forward, but do you still want to have that depth just in case? I think you do. I mean, look at the Eagles. The Eagles go like 10 deep on the D-line.
It's crazy.
Right? And Charles Amenu is going to miss a large chunk of the season. You probably still want another guy behind Carl Loftus. If it is going to be FAU and Dana on one side, who's behind Carl Loftus?
I mean, I like Ogba. I think that's a great choice.
So I think maybe that's the way you go. As much as I would like to see like maybe a bigger name on the inside, I don't see it necessarily happening just because of the guys they brought back. And I would not be surprised if a cornerback was in the cards. Don't know who it's going to be. Maybe they just draft a couple corners and say, hey, we're good again. Maybe Nazi Johnson they think can be that dude. Maybe they think Echo Boydo can be that dude. But I still wouldn't mind a veteran back there. 1 year, 2 year deal. Again, the names are big, but the production of what you think is going to get might not match up to the name.
Yeah. I mean, you have Xavier Howard out there.
I can give you a list if you want.
You have some people. I'd love to see Steph Gilmore. I'd love to see Stephon Gilmore come in on just a 1 year flyer, be that veteran who could like help coach up some guys on the field, provide some insurance. I just think it'd be awesome. Plus in the twilight of his career, chase a ring. I think that'd be great. To me, that makes sense. Also, man, there's a guy, I'll be honest. I defended him when he was leaving. Steven Nelson.
I knew where you were
always,
going.
Always people just gave it to him. Like he was not a quality corner. I mean, he did have problems. Like he had problems getting his head around the ball. For sure, there are messed up plays there, but Steve Nelson was a starter on a winning team. He was a he was always an average to above average starter, even with the Chiefs. He's gone on to play several more years in the NFL. He's a free agent again. Had a good year last year. I wouldn't mind having him back either. But for me, I'd love to have Gilmore. Are you with me on a veteran corner, or do you want to let all youth play out there?
Yeah, I would prefer to have a veteran corner out there as well. You have Xavien Howard, J.C. Jackson, Adoree Jackson, Cam Sutton from Detroit, Stephon Gilmore, the ancient Patrick Peterson. At least the Chiefs could kind of fulfill that prophecy of 8 years ago of Patrick Peterson playing in Kansas City,
oh,
right?
Oh, man. Yeah. He is all slot now, by the way. All slow and all slot.
I was going to also point out Stephon Gilmore is also 33. Steven Nelson, Levi Wallace, Rakia Sin, Eli Apple. hey, Rashad Fenton, when I have that come back. I mean, there's some actually decent names I mentioned up top, but I just
Rock. I like the thought of Rock coming in and doing something there too. He's young.
So, you know, there's a couple ways the Chiefs can go. I just don't want to see a big contract. Like, yeah. If it is Stephon Gilmore, that's fine if it's 1 for 5, but I don't want to see a 2 for 12.
No.
Right?
No.
And I see Lauren Schenk saying, now we made the Darrell Revis mistake already. What we're saying here is we don't necessarily expect that guy to come in and be like, that's our CB1. That's your CB3. That's your CB4, maybe. I'm not expecting that guy to come in and be like, the Chiefs have to have this guy play well or we're screwed. That's not what we're expecting. We just want to see some extra depth back there, and preferably with a veteran.
Yep. You don't want to come in going, Joshua Williams has to make the leap. You don't want to come in and go, Nick Jones has to be a rotational guy. You don't want to come in and go, Mazi Johnson has to be healthy. You don't want anyone to have to do anything. So if that means you spend a few million on a piece for security, that's what you do, and you grab one of those guys.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris Wright, member for 10 months, level AA rookie camp. Chris, here's to you.
Love it. Congrats, by the way. We need a 10-month medal or something, a coin.
I do want to give a shout out to Zach Farmer on our podcast review. Says, great listen. My favorite Chiefs podcast. I really enjoy listening to the guys covering everything Chiefs. Keep up the great work, fellas.
That's really nice.
Jacob Strange says, great show. Best Chiefs podcast. Thank you, Jacob. Dr. Driver 21 says, my favorite Chiefs coverage. How will the Chiefs secure depth on the defensive line? So I just want to say we do read these. We do appreciate them. We've talked about the defensive line a little bit today. If you guys want to give us a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, we would actually appreciate that. Hopefully it's a 5-star. We're 5-star men. We're 5-star men, okay? You give those 5 stars. if you give us 4, I don't know. I guess it's fine, but we prefer 5. And if you want to give us a thumbs up on YouTube, that would also help us out a lot. So we would appreciate that.
Yeah, if you're listening at all, if you want to give us a subscription, just hit the like button, hit that subscribe button. It goes a long way for everything we're trying to do here. And really, it's all for you all. It's all we're in this together. Folks, we've reached the end of our show here to transition to the must list. It's time for the must list. We bring in our producer, Richard, to hang out with us in a trifecta box, as Scott Hansen would call it. On the was that what he calls it?
Quad box.
Yeah. Anyway, Richard, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. It's a glorious Tuesday here with you fellas. So,
did you see the sun moon? What do you call that? An eclipse. Did you see the eclipse yesterday?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. I was out there every 15 minutes just checking in on it. Yeah, it was cool. It was neat. I've never really sat there and stared at one. But with glasses, of course. I'm not one of those people. My eyes are doing fine today.
We were in the path of totality. By the way, I'm determined to keep using the term path of totality as often as I can in regular conversation.
The Chiefs won the Super Bowl again. Yeah, I mean, you stepped into their path of totality.
I love it. Like when Sterling is like walking down the aisle in his wedding, I want to like write the words path of totality on the carpet as he's walking down. Like, anyway, I'm overdoing this joke, but
not at all.
Yeah, you know,
that joke's in the path of totality.
It is. It is. I love it. Speaking of paths and totality, we the Muscle List is a time where we recommend something that we totality love, either something we've read, something we've listened to, something we've watched, whatever it is. We just love making recommendations. And by the way, if you're listening or hanging out with us here and you have something you want to recommend too, let us know. I've watched movies that you guys have said, or if you're in the member and in a Discord channel and want to drop something in there, say, hey, you should check out this book or whatever. We love it.
Chris, thank you for the super chat. Look at that. Awesome stuff, Sterling and Matt. Love your insights. Chris, we love you. We do, wife, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that, man. Yeah. So who wants to go first? Who's got something to recommend today?
I'll go first. I'll get it out of the way, especially because you stole my Muscle List last week. You know, if you haven't listened to that, folks, that was the Little Debbie episode. But we're gonna go with the normal stuff, the weird shit. I'm gonna recommend John Carpenter's Lost Themes. I don't know if anyone's ever out there, you guys have listened to any of his music post making movies. This is a lot of the stuff he does with his son, Cody Carpenter, and then I think. I know it's the son of Dave Davies from the Kinks, Daniel Davies. So it's not just John doing all the work, but it's just instrumental electronic music. There's about four theme albums. I think the fourth one comes out in May, but they're really great. If you're just even a fan of just his work, you know, you watch his movies, you hear his music. That's usually how it goes. It's just music for movies that never existed. You know, you could sit there and close your eyes and imagine some post-apocalyptic nonsense, some heroin fighting a band of thieves. I don't know, whatever you want, but it's really cool.
I thought you meant the drug was fighting a band of thieves. And I was like, wow.
No. Richard. I'm talking about, picturing some 70s Jamie Lee Curtis fighting whatever, another monster of sorts. But yeah. It's good stuff. Check out John Carpenter's Lost Themes. New album in May.
By the way, what's better, 70s Jamie Lee Curtis or 2020s Jamie Lee Curtis?
I don't know. 70s. I don't know. She's doing more stuff back then. I think it's just funner.
What's better, John Carpenter or Karen Carpenter?
Ooh, Karen.
Yeah, that's the correct answer.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. I'll go. So it looks like on the show sheet, you were going to steal mine, Connor.
I was going to go next.
AIC, Alice in Chains, the album Dirt. I've already done an album of theirs before. I did Jar of Flies, that EP, but this one, Dirt, is just so good. Top to bottom, Them Bones, Rooster, Rain When I Die, Junkhead, Dirt. I mean, everything. Angry Chair. So good, man. This album, Jerry Cantrell and Layne Staley, their ability to harmonize. It's quite frankly like Matt Connor and mine. I mean, it's very, very similar. But
it's actually our influence. If people don't know, that's our influence.
Yeah, it's actually Jerry Cantrell and Layne. Well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. But that album is just so bleeping good. So good.
When I turn that up, my blood boils. It's like in a special way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
When you get the harmonizing parts, especially like the MTV Unplugged, and you're just like,
whoa. Oh, that's such a good Unplugged.
Dude, it's insane. Yeah. Dude,
you know what we need to do? We need a bracket. Hang out.
Oh.
I mean, yes, hang out. Dude, we need a bracket of MTV Unplugged.
Oh, that'd be good.
Because what would be number one? Like, I love so many. I'm from like Lauryn Hill to Nirvana to, by the way, Alanis Morissette has a killer Unplugged. I don't know. There's just a ton there. I'd be an interesting, we should do that in like the off season when there's no Chiefs things to talk about.
You know, we're in the off season right now, so I don't think we're probably ever. It'd be a special. It's a special.
You got 30 minutes? You got 30 minutes? I'll pull up a list. Let's just do it. Let's do a little bracket.
Like right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I gotta pee. Okay. I can't do that.
Yeah, let's not get the bottle out. Let's not do that.
Anyway, I guess for my must list, I'd recommend urinating because I gotta go and Yeah, that's all I got. I was going to say Alice in Chains too, and then Sterling stole it. I wrote down.
I had that in there for 2 weeks.
I wrote down. Don't lie. Don't lie, man. Don't lie. Sterling's a liar, and he doesn't even care to broadcast lies. He's fake news. Anyway.
You're a liar and a felon.
Dang it. You're right. You're right. Hey, you know what I recommend this week? I recommend Sterling Holmes because he's got a new show, daytime, like midday with Jason Anderson. What's the name of the show?
The Zone. It's right there on Sports Radio 810 right here in Kansas City every day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Hell yes. Look, I have known Sterling. I used to babysit Sterling when he was like 2. Then we had first grade together. We've just grown up a lot together. I'm so proud of this guy. Honestly, so proud of this guy. The career move. I mean, we've been thrilled to have him. Honestly, we've been thrilled to have him as part of our Arrowhead Addict crew for as long as he's been a part of us. I mean,
I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere.
Right, right. I agree. And then, but also, as we've all known, Sterling also has like other responsibilities. And so watching him get these new opportunities is just not surprising at all to any of us who work with him. He's so good at what he does. Plus, he's just like the most genuine dude ever. So, you know, if you love who he is on the air, you also love who he is just in person too. It just felt like the right, it is a good must list. I recommend Sterling Holmes in his new job. And I'm also glad I'm still with him in this job too.
Aww.
I hope you don't get too big for us, my friend.
You're a sweetheart. By the way, I love that we were in first grade together.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We were.
It was nice.
I started school a little later.
It was Mrs. Hughes.
Yeah. It was.
Mrs. Hughes.
I sat diagonal left. It was so good. Anyway. All right. For Sterling, for Richard, for myself, I'm going to hit the restroom and then we'll hit you next week with another batch of Chiefs and draft goodness. Tomorrow, by the way, Adam Best and Sterling are going to be coming at you with all kinds of Chiefs draft goodness. 2-3 more weeks, folks. Then we're going to have a full draft class to celebrate. But until then, go Chiefs.